Now, if you have a Bible, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew. It's going to be the first book in the New Testament. There's four Gospels in the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew chapter 10, I'm going to read a verse here by the Lord Jesus that he spoke when he was on this earth. And it's verses like this that make the Bible very unique. And it shows us that it is from God. There's not another book, religious book, if I could put it that way, that reads like the Bible. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. And here's what we read. I'll give you the setting in a few minutes. Matthew 10 and verse 28. The Lord Jesus said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." It's a solemn verse. I'm going to read that again in your hearing. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now turn over to chapter 11. Another word, verse that the Lord Jesus quoted, verse 28. This is a wonderful verse, a lovely salvation verse. The Lord Jesus one day stood before people and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Once again, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, just before we go to our final reading, Matthew chapter 10 tells us to fear him, fear God. Matthew chapter 11 tells us to come to him. Now, how in the world do you come to someone you fear? Why would you come to someone you fear? Well, let's turn to Luke 15, and we'll see these two points brought together. Luke 15, we're going to read the story of the prodigal son. Now, this is one parable the Lord Jesus told with three different parts. The first part, a parable, is an earthly story, something that people could relate to, but it has a higher truth. There's a heavenly meaning, some spiritual truth the Lord is trying to teach us. The first part of the story, verse number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, is about a shepherd trying to find a sheep that's gone astray. And we get the spiritual truth in verse 7. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." And then we come to verse number 8 and 9 and 10, another little part of the story. A woman with 10 pieces of silver, she loses one. And then it's found, and here's the spiritual truth, verse 10. "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And now we come to the final part of the story, the two sons, verse 11. "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine or pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father," notice, "I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. Notice, but when he was yet a great way off. Now his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. And you never read that the joy ends. Wonderful the joy of salvation. Not only do you enjoy salvation on earth, but you carry that joy with you, friend, into heaven. And you will enjoy God's salvation for all of eternity. Now, let's try to get a little understanding of Matthew chapter 10, a little understanding of Matthew 11, and let's see how it all comes together in chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke. Matthew chapter 10 is where we start. We are given very wise counsel by God who to fear. We spend a lot of time fearing men. But what the Lord Jesus is teaching in Matthew 10 is this. His disciples are fearful that they're going to be persecuted because of their connection with God, because of their faith in God. And the Lord is warning them that as they travel throughout the land, people will try to arrest them and persecute them and torment them and try to get them to the point where they recant, deny God. But you know what the Lord Jesus said to them? I'm going to give you a warning. He says, don't fear what man does to you. Why? Because it only lasts so long. And then man is done. He says, you fear God. Because what God is able to do to you never ends. That's solemn. Now you think of it. We can look back to the Dark Ages. When individuals that came out of that and professed faith in Christ and individuals invented tremendous instruments of cruelty to try to get these Christians to recant their faith in God. And man could extend the life of an individual for weeks. Incredible pain. But as the Lord Jesus said, all they can do is cause pain on the human frame. Then eventually the body dies. But friend, if that soul of yours is not saved, it goes out into the hand of God. You know what the Bible teaches, friend? If you are not saved, if you're not born again, if you do not have a point in your life when you have repented of your sin and turned to the Savior for salvation, you will suffer eternally in a place called hell in the lake of fire. That will never end. So I want you to get a good understanding tonight from the words of the Lord Jesus. You need to have a fear of God. You need to fear God, friend, because your sin is against Him. Your sin is an offense to His holy commandments. Your sin will have to be answered for. Sometimes we're all taken up with these actions, these words, and we fear the effect it has on men and what men will do to us when they find out. It's the wrong fear. That's very limited. That's only linked with time. But friend, this Bible teaches that your soul, your spirit will live forever. It'll either live forever in heaven or it'll live forever in hell. That's why this is a very solemn occasion. We're not here to entertain you tonight. We're not here to try to tell you stories that make you laugh and as if this is some light thing. Friend, listen, this Bible teaches every single one of us are just a step from death. Saved, one step from heaven. Not saved, one step from a real place called hell. So it's really good for us, before we even get too deep into the gospel message, to find out, where am I? This chart behind me is taken from the Bible. And as you can see, there's only two roads. There is what is called the broad road that leads down to hell. That's where we're all born. We are born sinners, therefore we are born on a wrong road, going a wrong direction from God. You see that door there with the hand pointing to it? John 10 and 9. The Lord Jesus one day looked at people and said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Saved from where your sins are taking you. So friend, as you sit in this meeting tonight, you are either in your sins on the road to hell or saved on the road to heaven. Where are you? Boy, it'd be a wonderful thing if you got located tonight. You say, well, I'm in Winnipeg. We know we're in Winnipeg. I know that much. We know that we're in the Winnipeg Gospel Hall. We know that much. But we're talking spiritually, friend. Spiritually. Where do you stand in relation to your God? Your sins. Do they trouble you? Good. Your sins should keep you up at night. Your sins should bring you to your knees, to where you fear meeting God in your sins. I took a funeral last week. Thank God the woman knew her sins forgiven. And Joe, as I looked at that audience of close to 300 people, I told them that death is one of the greatest preachers that ever preaches. And it's a one-way door. Nobody comes back from death. Friend, let's be clear tonight. You die in your sins and miss the Savior, you will be in hell. Instantaneously. Now, I hope we're thinking. That's why you need to fear God. It's not the men at the Gospel Hall you need to fear. Oh, I got to make them think I'm a good girl or boy. No. Friend, God. Your sin is against God. That's why the Lord Jesus looked at people and he said, fear God, fear him. Now in Matthew chapter 11, the Lord says, come to me. Well, if I got this tremendous fear of God, fear would cause me to go the opposite way. Why would I ever come to someone I fear? I cannot help but think in Matthew 11, as the Lord looked at that audience, he saw what I did. When I cannot help but think, as he looked at those people, I think he held out his hands, and I think there was a smile on his face, and he said, come to me, and I will give you rest. He was a tremendous preacher, you know, the Lord Jesus. The best, the prince of preachers. And people could see the affection and the desire. Friend, listen, I can tell you on the authority of this Bible that if you fear God and you understand your sin, there is a Savior that is waiting for you. God delights in saving people. God takes no pleasure, the Bible tells us, in the death of the wicked. God doesn't sit back when a sinner dies in their sins and falls into a real place called hell and starts to suffer forever. And God doesn't go, all right, this is great. No, no. God delights in rescuing people from where their sins are taking them. Now let's come quickly to the story in Luke chapter 15. Time is going very quickly here. Luke chapter 15, in my mind, brings these two things. How do I come to someone I fear? Well, look, listen to the story of this young man. Two boys. We're going to speak about the younger boy for a minute, okay? So really what happened in this boy's life is this. He comes to his father, and he knows his father has money. He couldn't wait for his father to die to get the money. That was his level of appreciation for his father. His father had provided him a home, meals, clothing, employment, on and on and on it goes. And there was just no appreciation in the heart of this boy for everything that his father. And all he thought of when he saw his father was just a big dollar sign. So he goes to his father one day and he says, Dad, I want my money. Really what he was saying was, I want you dead. That's just how rude it was. I wish you were dead so I could get my hands on my money. Someone says, well, I'd never do that. Oh? Let me ask you, if you're not saved, how many times did you eat today? Most of us ate three meals today. Did you bother to thank God for one of them? Oh, you say, I don't owe God anything. Oh, you don't. Take a little time to read the Bible, and you know what you owe him? Every breath you take, he gives it to you. Have you stopped to thank God for just the health you enjoy?
Oh, I don't have to do that. I look after myself. I eat healthy. I jog. I exercise.
Oh, friend, you're missing it. If you're not saved tonight, you're no different than this prodigal son. Self-made.
And amazes me that this father just gave him the money. Isn't it amazing what God gives us and we don't even thank him for it? The Word of God tells us that God causes the sun to arise on the ungodly and the godly. God sends rain whether people ask for it or not. Whether a farmer acknowledges rain comes from God, God still sends it.
Friend, your God is amazingly kind. It's only the grace of God that you're not in hell at this moment. You ever thanked him for that one? God, I'm so thankful I haven't been sent to hell for my sin. We owe God, friend.
This man didn't think he owed anything. And can you just see this man, high-handed, a pocket full of money, he's turned his back on his father, and he's going down the road. There he goes. He thinks he's got the world by the tail.
You know what I discover in this little chapter here? God just sent, not a famine, but a mighty famine. You know, it doesn't take much for God to bring you and I down. A little bacteria that we can't even see with the human eye can cause tremendous chaos in this strong body. Just a little slip on the wheel of another car can just cause us to brush eternity. Friend, it's only God's kindness that you're alive tonight.
This boy deserved judgment. But I see the eye of God following this boy. And God brings this mighty famine. And it just reduces this boy down, down, down to the point where he realizes,
I've sinned. You ever been there? Let's get it straight, friend. You know what this parable is emphasizing? Repentance. If you cannot take me to a point in your life when you repented of your sin, you're not going to be in heaven. Do we all understand that?
Salvation, I'm going to prove it to you. Salvation is not this mathematical formula. Oh, I'm the sinner. Christ died for sinners. 1 + 1 = 2. Oh, I'm saved.
Not at all. When God deals with you with your sin, you'll never forget it. Because it breaks you. It changes you.
That's what happened to this boy. This boy is just sitting in the stink of all these pigs. He can't go any lower. And all of a sudden, there's a complete change of thinking in his mind. The one that he had no respect for, the one that he turned his back on, he now realizes, I've sinned against that one. But above that, I've sinned against God in heaven. You understand, friend, that your sin is not just first against mankind. It's first against God. Then it's against mankind. And you know what this boy decided to do? That's it.
I'm going to go back to the one that I turned my back on.
See, he now fears him. But he realizes that's the first place he's got to go. And as this boy turns around and he starts to head back the road, I love what the Word of God does. Listen, in spite of everything that he thought, a complete change of thinking now, and here's his actions. He's moving back toward home. You know what the Bible says? While he was yet a great way off.
Do you know what the Word of God is teaching for us, friend? There's so many verses that flood into your mind when you're preaching like this, but in spite of everything that you and I do as a sinner, it will never bring us close to God.
Never will. It's not repentance that saves me. It's not believing that saves me. It's only God that saves me. Repentance and receiving and accepting and believing, that's just a lateral link. I explain it this way to people. I think everybody here has been on an elevator, okay? When faith is what causes my finger to hit the button, I want to go up to floor number 5 and I'm number 1. Faith is what causes me to cross the threshold into the elevator. But once those doors close, is it my faith taking me up to the fifth floor? You say, not at all. It's the elevator. That's right. It's not my faith plus the elevator. Faith just brought me in contact with a tremendous power. I could sit on the floor of that elevator and say, I don't believe in elevators. Guess what? I'm still going up. Because something now greater than me has taken over. Friend, listen. I remember the day, April the 4th, 1990, when as a hell-deserving sinner, I just told God he was right. I said, God, I was all by myself. I remember thinking, God, you've given us the Bible. It says that we're sinners and we're going to hell and that's what we deserve. And right there I saw, but it says Christ died for you. You see what had happened? In that split moment, I repented and took sides against myself. I agreed with God. That's what I mean, friend. Repentance is the side of the coin of being saved. So here's back to this boy. Got to quickly back to the story. Here's this boy now. He's heading home. Now, let's join the boy on the road, okay? This boy didn't realize his father was waiting for him. All of a sudden, at a distance, he sees this figure. I don't know who he thought it was, but all of a sudden, that figure started running at him. Now, I'm just a simple man. I'll just put myself in his shoes. If I was in his shoes, I'd think, that is my father, and he's coming to kill me. That's just what I would think. Okay, maybe I'm way off base here. But it, going through my mind would be this thought. The last time I left my father's house, I wanted him dead. I just wanted my money, and I turned my back on my father. There was no telegrams being sent down to the far country. Oh, your father is waiting for you. He really misses you. And there was none of that. The boy had no idea what was coursing through the mind of his father. His father wanted to receive him. His father wanted to forgive him. Friend, I can tell you that as a sinner. Don't stay away from the one who wants to save you. The very thing that qualifies you to be saved is your sin, and you're trying to avoid it. You have to embrace it. You have to accept it as my sin. That's what brings salvation. So here's this boy. Do you know what proves to me that this boy was genuine in his repentance? As that figure ran at him, he never turned. He kept moving toward that figure. Do you know what that boy had accepted? Whatever my father does with me is right. Because I deserve it. That's genuine repentance. Are you here today claiming that you're a Christian and you're saved? Then take me to the day in your life when you told God, if you send me to hell, that's what I deserve. Because I'm just a sinner. That's genuine repentance. And you know what this boy enjoyed? Experienced, because he kept moving with a broken spirit, he got the embrace of the Father. He got the kiss on his cheek. He got the ring on his finger, the shoes on his feet, the robe on him. He enjoyed sitting at the table with his Father, who he had turned his back on. And there he is sitting down. And the moral of the story is this: there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. I wonder if that'll be you tonight. Or maybe you'd like to hold on to your little religious experience. You'll take it to hell with you. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to hold on to my good life. You'll realize in hell it's not good. Every single person that dies in their sins will realize in hell how wrong they are. And they'll understand then that God is right. So friend, I challenge you tonight. Are you saved? Are you born again? As I'm preaching, are you going back to the time in your life when you repented and you went to the very one you feared and you found out he forgave me? That is salvation. I trust that God will give hope as the meeting continues.